This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, he played last night. Oh, yeah, about 5 or 6 points, couple of the dimes, just getting used to the Miami culture. Tiki and Tierney coming to you from our studios, the Rocket Mortgage Studio. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Third hour, last hour of the week here as we send you into the holiday weekend. Happy early Easter to everybody out there. Hopefully you guys have an outstanding Sunday, and we'll get to the Final Four. You know, good stuff with Dan Dickow, Juan Gonzaga's ascension over the last 30 years or so, their profile. That was a good chat. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that. We're going to get with Charlie Ward here in a couple of minutes, which would be pretty, you know, it's funny too, because the old joke back in the day was, who's the best quarterback in New York? Meaning whoever was playing for the Knicks. Well, he plays for the Knicks. You're thinking, well, you're going through the years. Is it Boomer Esiason? Is it Chad Pennington? Is it Dave Brown? Is it, you know, Tommy Maddox? Like, you're going through all the names of the quarterbacks. And no, it was Charlie Ward.
Yep.
And it's crazy too, because Charlie Ward, you know, here we are with Kyler Murray, who's small, Baker Mayfield, who's small. Charlie Ward was 6'2", a buck 90. You know, and, you know, he won the national championship with the Noles back in 93, and he won the Heisman that year as well, also 1993. I wonder, you know, if Charlie Ward's coming out in 2023. What sport is Charlie Ward playing?
Probably football,
BT, I would agree with you.
Because he's going to be a first-round pick, and because he was dominant. And I, unfortunately, had the mispleasure of playing against him down at Florida State. And it was loud. And I remember being a freshman. And this guy is all – he runs all over the place. In fact, I actually played in that game because I was a freshman. But the first year, we were getting so blown out, I actually got some burn.
Which
was kind of cool. I ripped off a big run, too.
Did you?
I think I ended up having almost 100 yards, or maybe even over 100 yards. But it was only because they were – I mean, it was their C team.
Little prevent defense.
Oh, dude, they were destroying us.
It's all right,
they
take what you get.
Destroyed us.
Still looks good in the box score.
It's right. I did it a couple more times, rushed for 100 yards against FSU. So I take some credit, even though it was only because we were playing against the scrubs at that point.
That's right. You validated it.
He was unbelievable.
I was going to ask you his arm strength, though. Like, I mean, to recollect how he threw the ball in the 93 season, I'd be kind of lying.
BT, I don't even remember, to be honest with you. Like, because he was such an athlete. He was like Michael Vick in college, where they ran a lot of QB intentional, you know, runs and, you know, sweeps and powers, things that you actually are now seeing in college football, but also in the NFL. Like, this is what Cam Newton does a lot of. I think I kind of remember having a good arm because they had good wide receivers, and I know he threw a bomb on us, but I can't picture it. I don't remember it, to be honest with you.
So, I mean, you know, let's talk about two sports stars. Obviously, Bo Jackson's getting all the love, and Deion Sanders getting all the love here, and there's a few other guys in between, obviously. But
yeah, but two-sport football and baseball, I think, is significantly different, right, than two-sport football and basketball.
Why? Because the seasons just run into each other?
Yeah.
Or because
it's
different skills?
Right, yeah, no, that. It's right. You finish football season, and you basically you're in basketball season.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean?
Oh, you're definitely in the season, yeah.
And the physicality is so different. And the conditioning, while you may be in good football condition, it's a different, you know, back-and-forth nature of basketball. It's just hard in college to do both.
Yeah, yeah. I think Charlie Ward was also a decent baseball player, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you might be right.
I don't know if he played at Florida State like Jameis.
Yeah.
But I feel like he did for a minute.
You know what? He has the body. He has the look of a baseball player.
He's just, I'll tell you, he was And he was drafted by my team. He played in the 94 finals as a rookie against the Rockets. Mm-hmm. We lost, of course. But Charlie Ward was a pretty good NBA point guard on a lot of good Knick teams. Like, we always refer, like, oh, Charlie Ward, the college football star. Charlie Ward was a good basketball player, too, Teak.
Yeah.
He really was.
Yeah, he did not play baseball, although Ward had not. This is just in Wiki page. He hadn't played baseball since high school. He was drafted as a pitcher by the Milwaukee Brewers in the 59th round.
Take a flyer.
Of the free agent draft. He never played, though, baseball. Not in college or in the NFL.
Got it. Let me throw this at you. Well, hopefully, Charlie, I know he just tweeted something, so he's going to join us here and love to have a conversation with Charlie Ward, and we anticipate that he will call. But as we wait for that, you know, if I'm a Bears fan, just to switch things up, talk about quarterbacks at the pro level now. So, I mean, if I'm Ryan Pace, I don't know if I'm doing any talking right now. Their general manager, he says, he was asked, you know, what attracted you to Andy Dalton? And he said, well, as I read, obviously his experience, he's a 9-year starter. He's been to 3 Pro Bowls. He's one of the more complete quarterbacks that we evaluated this year in terms of free agency. We're excited to have him. We feel like we've gotten a lot better with Andy. I mean, that's just a tough sell.
Yeah.
I know that you have to say something. You're asked a direct question. Well, you didn't have to go on the show, to be fair. But, you know, you want to represent your team, and it's all good. I'm not saying that you don't answer. You take a pass or, you know, you give the most vanilla response. But what – find me the Chicago Bear fan that is buying that.
No, they're not. And look, he actually may be right, given what they had previously with Nick Foles, who was a shell of anything, even the expectation around him. Mitch Trubisky, who just couldn't quite figure it out, even though he had some good games. I can't fully knock Mitch Trubisky. He did have some progression, but not nearly enough to justify signing him after they declined his 5th-year option. And so he goes into free agency and he ends up signing with the Bills, which I think is good for him. He'll sit there and chill, and you know, maybe he'll get some opportunity at some point, but whatever it is, I think he's in a good spot there, because he can learn from how Josh Allen learned to be an NFL quality, really high-end NFL quality quarterback. But if I'm Ryan Pace, he actually might be telling the truth, relatively speaking, because Andy Dalton is a good quarterback. But at this stage of Andy Dalton's career, nobody's looking at Andy Dalton saying, this is our shot. We are now going to the postseason, and we're going to be a threat to somebody.
No, right? There's nobody who thinks that in the world.
And look, maybe it does happen. Maybe Andy, after having, you know, that little gap year from with the Dallas Cowboys, maybe he re-finds something. But I don't know. I can't predict that. I'd have to see that. There's no way I would say before a season starts that I think Andy Dalton's going to have an all-pro type year.
Oh, I wouldn't say that even if he was his third or fourth year in the system. I'll never say that about Andy Dalton at this point. And that's coming from somebody who, you know, like you, always kind of defended Andy Dalton because he was a winner.
I appreciated him. Yeah, he was a winner.
He won games. Yep. He put up decent numbers. It's funny. I just typed in Mitch Trubisky. I didn't even realize this on Pro Football Reference. You'll get a kick out of this. Yeah. So, because I want to see one thing about his stats. And I look up, you know, it's got the individual accomplishments like Pro Bowl, All Pro, All Decades Team, whatever. So, Mitchell Trubisky, 1 Pro Bowl, and this is actually on his ProFootballReference.com page. The 2021 Nickelodeon valuable player.
No, it's not.
I swear to God, I'm looking at it right now. Remember when we did that with the slime?
He played
horribly. It was a joke that he won. He was the 2021 Nickelodeon valuable player as voted on by 9-year-olds.
That's awesome, though.
And that made the Pro Football Reference page.
Hey, take it where you can get it, man. Wherever you can find some accolades.
I guess.
What do you get for that? You get a bucket of slime or something?
I feel like I saw the trophy. That was actually pretty cool how they did that.
Yeah. It was. Nickelodeon's great. I love Nickelodeon. My kids love Nickelodeon. I've known them ever since I was at the Super Bowl in 2000. Because they had a guy, kid down there, Pick Boy was his name.
What was his name?
Pick Boy.
Pit? Yeah,
P-I-C-K. Like Pick Boy. He used to pick shows or something like that.
Oh, Pick, I got you.
And he came in and interviewed me. He was a teenager, maybe he was early 20s, but he had like a superhero outfit on.
No, he didn't.
I swear to you, dude.
When did who else was there when I'm like, that's when it really started getting freaky.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Pick Boy was freaky, but you get everybody, like the last 10, 12, 15 years, it's been an onslaught of stupidity at the Super Bowl,
that's some
of the questions that are asked. What was it like in 2000? I don't even remember.
It wasn't bad, but you know what it was? It was really international.
Yeah.
Because I remember there was a Japanese reporter there, and she didn't speak English, so her questions had to be translated, and it was weird because I knew she wouldn't understand what I was saying if I answered her. So it was, I don't know, it was odd.
What did she ask you? What did the translator ask you?
It was, what does it feel like to be here? What's your journey been like?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like I can say, in college I wasn't really good, then I got good, and then this happened, and then I got strong. Like, it was nothing I could really say. It was because I knew she wouldn't understand.
But the interpreter would have.
Yeah, but I felt like it would be
lost in translation. I got you.
Because I'd be saying things about football, and I mean, I don't know if they know football over there. I mean, I'm sure they do, but still, obviously they do because she wouldn't have been there.
But
I don't know. It was odd. Pick Boy was the oddest.
Pick Boy. I wonder. He's probably running the show over at, he's probably like behind the sports line vehicle.
But it was
great. Or PFF.
Because I went later on in my career and I did some things at Nickelodeon, just popping on shows here and there. And he was there. And so I met him. He was like, hey, Pick Boy. He's like, I'm surprised you remember me. I'm like, dude, how could I not remember you?
There's got to be an expiration date for the nickname or the moniker Pick Boy.
I don't know if they still do Pick Boy.
Oh, my God.
He was awesome.
So, I don't know. Listen, I don't know what's going to happen with Charlie here. James, any update, buddy? Just so I can kind of have a sense of what's happening here. MIA, which is so straight, just tweeted at us.
I know.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe something happened.
Listen, it's all good. I would love to know, and I think that
Stefan was his name, BT.
What's his name?
Septon, I think is his name. Jeff Septon.
Septin?
Set Finn.
Okay.
Set Finn.
It's a tough name to say.
Yeah, Set Finn. At least that's what I think it is.
Gotcha.
Because he popped up when I put in Pick Boy.
And he's like 43 now.
No, he's 43.
God, that's hysterical. That is hysterical. I would love
so
to
he's
know-
kind of a contemporary. He's like my age.
Yeah,
he was having this conversation with me in 2000.
Oh, my goodness.
That's great.
I don't know. I really wanted to get Charlie on. I really wanted to get his thoughts on... and by the way, I don't think that he really looks at it this way. He is a highly religious person.
Yeah.
Highly religious. Like, to him, sports was always, always secondary. Like, to the point where, he had some issues based on some of his religious views, along with Allen Houston. There was something in, I believe it was the New Yorker magazine back in the day, and they kind of got deep into the weeds on religion, and they offended some people. And I don't know. I don't think it was intentionally, for sure. I'm not trying to say that. But I don't know if he strikes me as the kind of guy, almost like a Curtis Martin type. I can't imagine that Charlie Ward sits around very much and thinks about, what if I would have had a chance to play football?
Yeah.
But I really wanted to get that answer. Because, again, when you come up in 1993, and think about this. Kyler Murray is small compared to him. There's no way Baker Mayfield's 6'2".
No.
Charlie Ward leaving Florida State after the 93 championship, after the 93 Heisman Trophy winner. By the way, one of a handful of Heisman Trophy voters, not to get drafted.
Yeah, right.
So which they didn't even throw him a bone in the seventh round. Like, let's bring you into camp and see what you could do here. Legitimately, after he left Seminoles camp, is 6'2", 193 pounds. So you're telling me 3-4 years into the NFL, he couldn't be 6'2", 207, 210?
I wouldn't have put anything past Charlie Ward.
Me neither.
I believe he would have been successful as an NFL quarterback, even back then. If he was playing now, as you positioned this, I think he definitely would be successful, and he would have gotten drafted, even if he was saying he's going to play in the NBA. I know we're going to take a break here, BT.
I was going to ask you, what do you think the difference, though, was between, like, talent-wise, between Ward and, say, Cordell Stewart?
I think Charlie Ward was better. He was a better passer of the football.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so he was a great athlete, but he was actually a pocket passing type quarterback. Mm-hmm. I think he would have done really well in the NFL. Jeff Sutphin, Sutphin.
Are you Jeff still on this pick boy tip here?
Graduated with a Bachelor of Arts
degree
in communication from Marist College.
What?
In Poughkeepsie, New York.
You got to be kidding me.
I'm not kidding you.
You have to be kidding me.
I'm not kidding you. What? By the way, BT went to Marist College.
That is hysterical.
I know it. And I had to say that because I knew you would
Marist kid, huh?
He's a Marist kid.
What a go-getter. He's hustling on camera as a young buck, and then he goes to a great school. All worked out. What is he doing now, though? I should make sure he's doing okay now.
Not sure. He's an actor. I mean, so
he's an actor,
Game show host.
You know, I mean, like I think Pick Boy needs to be on the show at some point.
Definitely.
I mean, now he has to be on the show.
We have to find him. We have to find him because I googled some of his videos and stuff, and it has him having a conversation with someone from the at the Super Bowl again. From the Carolina Panthers. And,
Yeah. So he did. Cam's won.
He did it a couple times. So.
He was still doing it up until his late 30s.
Yeah, we got to see what he's up to.
See what he's
days.
Up to. We'll give him a little spot on the show. Good news, Santa. It looks like Santa cannot win the Tiki and Tierney Bracket Challenge. Thank God we don't have to deal with him hosting for an hour, co-hosting. Thank God, because he had, who did Mike have winning? Michigan, right?
He had Gonzaga.
He's got Gonzaga. So then why did he say that he can't win?
Because I think, One of the other guys has more Final Four participants.
Maybe Houston. Somebody pushed Houston through.
Because it's all
like
about
that.
Points. It's all about points. And so I think he just lost the points battle because his Final Four is not as robust as the guy that was ahead of him.
Got it. Well, speaking of the Final Four, Teek and I'll get to that. We'll jump back into college basketball next. We'll get the blast after that. We'll start to wind down a busy week here on the show. Final Four is how we finish up next. Teek and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, sponsored by Werner, the official ladder of NCAA March Madness and the official ladder of professional contractors everywhere. Werner, the number one pro ladder brand. Hang on, Tiki, I'm getting tweets from Pick Boy. Mm-hmm. He's saying lay the five this week. No, I'm just kidding.
I was going to say.
Lay the 5.5 with Gonzaga. Hey, this just, this broke. This is pretty interesting here. So Porter Mosier, who is an outstanding coach, we know him at Loyola Chicago, ironically, I mean, last second, almost took the St. John's job. I don't even know if you know that. He almost took the St. John's job a year ago.
No, I don't remember that.
Almost took it.
Interesting.
Flew in. I mean, really, contract parameters discussed. And they just did a piece on it recently. One of the websites, like he even, detailed just how close he was to taking the job.
Yeah. So what derailed it?
He just didn't think it was the right time. Maybe, I don't know if it's a, part of the country. I don't know. He didn't really say, he said he has respect for the program, blah, blah, blah. I didn't think it was the right time to leave. And he didn't leave, and which was smart. He went 26-5 this past year. It's his third stop. You know, he's been coaching for about 20 years now. He started at Little Rock, and he had good success there. Mm-hmm. No NCAA tournament appearances, but he won some games, right? Then he went to Illinois State, and he was there for 4 years. No NCAA tournament games or appearances. So this is kind of a recent development. His first, let me see. They switched conferences. They used to be in the Horizon, I believe. Now the MVC. I believe 1, 2, 3. I'm gonna do it this way. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. His first six seasons at Loyola.
Mm-hmm.
No NCAA appearances.
Wow.
Then they cracked through, and the great sister Jean, Final Four back in 2017, 2018. This past year they made the tournament as well. But for a guy who has had this incredible success lately, there were a lot of years prior to this where, he didn't win big. And you run the risk of, even if he loves it there at Loyola Chicago, and I'm sure he does, if you don't leave now, I mean, that's not a school that always wins. They've had some lean years on the basketball court, including when he was there early.
Yeah,
I think it's a smart time to jump for him.
Nor do I know the resources that they're putting in the program, like the facilities, et cetera, that you always look at and you wonder, well, can we build? Can we recruit if we're not on par with what these other great colleges or universities are putting out there for the kids to see? And so you go to Oklahoma. Well, you know they have the resources, and I think you're right, BT. It is a good time. It's unfortunate for a team like Loyola Chicago, but I think they'll rebound. Find someone not as good, but someone who is who will continue their growing legacy, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But I think Moser had to do this. You're absolutely right, because if they have two lean years, he's never getting the opportunity again.
Not like this. His ticket's pretty damn hot right now. You think about this. His first year is in the 2011-2012 season. Mm-hmm. The previous coach, Coach Witzel, had a 16-15 season. So not a complete – I don't know how many players they lost. Maybe it was a complete rebuild. I mean, I don't know. If they had three starters coming back from a 16-15 team and you go 7-23, which is what they did in Porter Moser's first year, that's probably a bad season. If you lose everybody and you go 7-23, it's understandable.
Yep.
And then he goes, then he jumps in year two to 15-16. Then he dials it down to 10-22. All right. So the first 3 years, not really acquitted himself very well. Not a winning season. Then his fourth year, he cracks through. No NCAA, but they go 24-13. And then boom, right back to a sub 500 season. Yeah. So as he's getting ready for his sixth year at Loyola Chicago, I can't imagine the administration is 100% sold, the boosters, et cetera, the board of directors, that they have the right coach, which speaks to the importance of, you know, letting something run its course. If you believe that there's enough good, if there's some tangible evidence that, you know, you have the right position, even if the results aren't satisfying to everybody, you got to trust your instincts. They did. Look how they got rewarded.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, another school might have said, nah, we're bouncing this guy. We're not winning with this dude. Boom. And nobody would even know who Sister Jean is at this point.
True, but he's also probably benefiting from the fact that Loyola Chicago isn't one of those high-profile schools that everybody's looking at year to year, you know, over-scrutinizing the results. I mean, maybe locally they are.
Yeah.
But nationally, you're not going to get that pressure.
True. Very true. You know, that's an outstanding point.
Well,
you're
right. That they now will get, because now we know Loyola Chicago has been, you know, two instances of them getting into the tournament and getting deep in a little bit into the tournament. So now whoever comes in next will have a completely different expectation than Porter Moser had when he was there.
That's a good point, T. Think about the way Shaka Smart's career is gone. Yep. We love the move back to Marquette, basketball-only school, no football. But,
right,
you know, at VCU, which really, especially with him, had a great basketball profile and still has a good sizable. I know they sunk some money into the program based on the revenue they made when they made that nice Final Four run. It's a good program and a good conference. So they have a nice basketball portfolio. But at VCU, you know, if you have a down year, okay, there's an understanding as long as things aren't going completely sideways.
Right.
You have a couple of years where you don't win an NCAA tournament game at Texas, and it's a totally different narrative.
That's right.
So the stage is important, which gets us to the best stage of the sport this weekend, the Final Four. You know, I'm going to sit down to watch both of these games tomorrow, and I hope we get something tight. I do. I have reservations about UCLA. I know that a lot of people are leaning on their style, their mm-hmm. pace of play, 350th in the country. I've been as big a Cronin fan as there is as there is. I mean, going back to his Cincinnati Bearcat days, I've always referenced him. I love him. He is a great coach. It's the complete antithesis style-wise of how the Bruin fans probably want them to win, but they're back on familiar soil. I just don't know how they – How do you possibly corral?
You can't.
You can't. I mean, can't. So you're going to have to score north of 80 points. Can you?
Look what happened against Michigan. Like, they won against Michigan by scoring 51 points.
And it's 51-49.
And they shot less than 40% collectively from the field. That's not from three-point line. They shot 17% from three-point land.
3 for 19, I think?
Yeah, 17 or 19, whatever it was.
Yeah.
But they were abysmal.
Yep.
I think it was 19, I think you're right, from three-point land. And they were bad from the field as well. They had one guy get hot, Zhang, and other than that, he scored half their points.
But he's hobbled now. I saw him today.
Exactly.
He was in a boot again.
He's in a boot again, and you just wonder.
Practicing, but in a boot.
You just wonder, like, how much can they withstand of the just waves of precision that Gonzaga is going to throw at you? And even when Gonzaga plays poorly, they shoot like 46%. You know what I mean? I don't want to say they have no chance, because that you just can't.
Saying that.
You don't say that in sport at all.
No,
it doesn't matter.
No.
But if I was a betting man, I'd put almost anything I would on Gonzaga.
That's pretty much what Vegas is saying. They're basically saying UCLA doesn't have much of a chance because they're 14.5-point underdogs. Mm. 14.5-point dogs for the national semifinal.
That's
I'd have to look.
That's an enormous number.
It's a monster. or not. I'd have to look long and hard to see how many times this century in one of the national semifinals, one of the teams is basically 15-point dogs. I can't imagine. It's incredibly, maybe a handful of times, maybe. Baylor-Houston, obviously, the other game, too. And I think that the reason why Gonzaga, there's never this, like, precipitous drop in efficiency. They have games where they're not quite putting up 92, which is mm-hmm. what they average.
Yeah.
But their drop might be 83 or 81. Like, that's an off night. And it's very simple why. They get quality looks.
Yes.
The way their big men pass and the way their guards, everybody, is so selfless and makes the extra hockey pass, the way they spin it around the perimeter and how quickly it, you can't keep up with that.
No.
You can't.
You're right.
And when you've got a high IQ, uber athletic, very selfless team that's incredibly well coached, I mean, that's a recipe to dominate.
Yeah, and they're savvy. Like Timmy, you look at it and you're like, that. Yeah, he's okay athlete. He's not like a superstar athlete.
No.
He's not like, you know, skying and dunking and, you know, crushing people. But when he gets the ball in the post, and if they get no help, like from weak side or otherwise, they don't get help on him. He's like Akeem down there.
Yeah,
with some of these guys. So seriously,
how tall is he? He's what?
I don't think he's like. I mean,
is he 6'10"?
I think
he's 6'10". Hang on, let me check.
Maybe
here.
6'9". But it does.
6'10". He is 6'10".
He's 6'10", but he's just,
so he's probably 6'9".
He tools people down there in the post.
He does,
and people think they can go one on one against him. And the next thing you know, he's on the other side of the hoop. The guy's lost, and he's like kissing it in and like pulling his mustache down. Like, yeah, look at my back.
Flexing too. I wouldn't right? flex too much Dude. With Timmy. I don't even need to flex.
It is what it is. But he's great.
Yeah,
I mean, he's a great college player. So I mean, you kind of. Can't hate on him for flexing his muscle.
He's going to find the role in the NBA, too. He's kind of like Kelly Olynyk, you know, like that type
That's
of passer.
Right.
He is so adept. And this is just, he must have had great coaching when he was young because mm-hmm. his footwork
That's right.
is impeccable.
That's right.
His series
he's
of.
Fun up, to watch. He's,
yeah.
He's just fun to watch because you know he's going to get a clean shot.
Oh, the up fakes, the timing, the use of both feet, both hands. He's incredible. But you know who my guy on the team is. You know who my favorite player is.
Who's that?
Because this is the kind of player that Kispert.
Oh, Kispert,
I mean, that's the kind of guy that I would want. Like, if I was a college, I would want to look like that. Like, that guy's got game. You know, looks like he could play a little linebacker in high school. He's an athlete, right. You know. Doesn't have any corny facial. Like, he's just a ball player. He's the leader of the team.
Yeah.
He really is. He's not the most talented. That sucks, but... It could take if they were to lose, and forget about the national semi, if they lose in the championship game, right, to either Baylor or Houston, mm-hmm. which again I wouldn't bet on. Certainly Baylor has a better chance, I think you and I both believe, than UCLA if Baylor even gets by Houston.
Yeah,
no?
Houston's got a really good defense. Houston, you know, just on this game real quickly. I mean, Baylor scores, we all know, and Macy O'Teague, who we had on, he's our guy now because he's been on twice and came on right after they made the Final Four, which was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And he dropped 22 in their Elite Eight win to get to the Final Four. They can score. But Houston is so defensive-minded and defensive-focused, and sometimes that gets them in trouble. So to your point about can Gonzaga, would they have more trouble with Houston or with Baylor? And you know, I hate to push them all the way through past UCLA, but I mean, we're going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Houston themselves, they got a little flustered with a zone at the end of their Elite Eight game as well, right? They couldn't figure out how to get a shot off. And if that happens against either Baylor, if they get through Baylor or Gonzaga, Houston won't have a shot, right? They won't have a chance. If they can't figure out how to score through these diverse defenses to get thrown at them sometimes, then they're going to have a problem. They were blowing out. I forget who they were. They're slipping my mind now who Houston played. I can't remember who they were playing. But whoever they were playing, they were blowing them out. And then it got close at the end, Houston, because they couldn't figure out how to get shots off. They're not going to be able to survive if that happens against Baylor.
Interesting. The only thing that I dislike about this possible scenario, though I don't think it's going to happen, like in the off chance that, you know, we get here Tuesday and Gonzaga is not the national champion.
Yeah.
The story is going to be about how Gonzaga folded or Gonzaga failed to finish the job or Gonzaga choked.
Well, that's why you got to watch it, though.
No, I understand that. But whomever wins, you know, whether it's Baylor or Houston, that's the secondary story. And that stinks.
Yeah.
That's not right.
Yeah.
But that's the way it's going to go.
Unless that's why it actually happened. You know what I mean?
It doesn't matter because it's the easy conversation. And it's a story, let's face it, have we talked more about Gonzaga this year or Houston?
Gonzaga, definitely.
Gonzaga, even Oregon Baylor, State, which has been a great team.
Oregon State is who Houston was playing. I knew I couldn't get it off my tongue. I was like, who is this? It's because they were a 12 seed.
That was a great story, the Beavers. I was hoping they would keep rolling there. That was a great story.
They almost did. I mean, they made it a game. They made it close. It was a route, and then all of a sudden it tightened because they played this zone that Houston couldn't figure out at the end of the game. They ultimately, you know, they got it done with foul shots. But, yeah, I agree. The Oregon State story was fun because we have disrespected the Pac-12, not mm-hmm. us, but just in general. Mm-hmm. And they made a great run into the Elite Eight. So,
no, some great stories. Listen, there was a lot of lame games, you know, a lot of especially day two. There was, I think, 7 or 8 a lot of 15-point blowouts. Yeah. The average was like 17.5 for the first 7 or 8 games of the day. But yep. But you get the ebb and flow in tournaments, and we have this way of uniquely positioning. You know, years that like, this year was incredible. Every year has bum games. It is right. What it is.
It is.
So let's just hope we don't get a bum national semifinal, you know,
who do you got?
Duo.
Who do you got?
I got Gonzaga.
And?
Like, I'm going to go with Baylor. I'm going to go with Gonzaga-Baylor.
I am too. Okay, Gonzaga-Baylor.
We'll all right. Axe got an update now. Teague and I will come back, give you a little dose of the blast, and then we'll wrap things up on this Friday. Axe update right now. Good song to end of the weekend, too. Time to ask the pros here, right, Teague? We like this music. Good stuff right here.
James got an old soul.
Oh, yeah. It's a good one. Time to ask the pros before we get to the blast. And we basically gave you a chance to ask us anything you want, as we do every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, courtesy of our friends over at O'Reilly Auto Parts. This one's about the quarterbacks. We've dissected this from every conceivable angle, but I promise we'll come up with new and creative ways to do this for the next month. I promise, as we get ready for the draft. This one from Jack in Texas. If you guys had to put money on it, who is the third quarterback taken in the draft? Simple for me. It's Fields. For me. Yeah. For
me. San Francisco 49ers with the third pick in the 2021 NFL draft. Select Trey Lance. North
really?
Dakota State, yeah. They want a project, man, and they think that he can be elite because he's got the size. He's got that off schedule, as they like to say, or off kilter ability to make big plays, and they're going to let Jimmy Garoppolo mentor him for a year.
Wow.
So I'm going to say Trey Lance.
That would stun me if that had. That would be a very interesting draft night development. Yeah. I don't see that happening, but we'll see.
He's a big kid, man.
I know, and he's a smart kid, too. He's got glowing reviews on his intellect. We know he's got the physical talents. I get it. That would still surprise me. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Now, Steve Young, I don't have it in front of me, but I was reading it earlier. Steve Young basically said that he knows that the Niners prefer Zach Wilson over anybody.
Yeah. I would too.
Oh, me too. Me too. But that they can't get the two. Well, let me ask you a question. I'm assuming that there's not.
What? Watch, the Jets are going to mess it up. And
no, they're
Justin
not. Stop
Fields.
With they're that nonsense. What are you saying that for? Come on, man. It's been 9 years. Haven't I had a tough enough ride with
you?
Yeah,
but I love the torturing of you, BT. I love it.
Why?
Because you're my partner. I love you, man. But
it sounds like it. I love the torturing of you. No, what you should say is I'd love to see you, you know, get healthy and win a championship.
No, you know why? It's because...
No, because you love the rants when I lose my mind.
That's exactly right. You knew exactly where I was going because you lose your mind and it is epic.
It really is amazing. No, we've had some... There's
I don't even think you know what you're saying. You're just talking.
It is a skill to not curse and to rifle out that venom that I rifle out once a year. Sometimes twice a year on the Jets.
Say, sometimes it's like 2 or 3 times a year.
It is a skill though to never curse when I do that. I mean, I just sometimes like somebody will send me a clip like with the laughing emojis, and I'll be like, man, you really are nuts.
Yeah, so I don't even know. I don't know what's gonna happen if the Jets get good. You're like, and now all of a sudden you're like anxiously.
Well,
nervous.
Then I, you know what
you're
happens.
You're like anxiously nervous,
no.
and excited that they're gonna win like the AFC championship game. It's gonna be like, oh, don't jinx us.
No,
and it's gonna become a tame.
Then
BT.
I become the cocky villain. a hat that I've never had a chance to wear, a cape that I've never had a chance to wear.
See, that would be fun, though.
So yeah, maybe, that's what I'm saying. So root for
you,
that.
If you promise that's going to happen.
I promise it's going to happen.
All right, good. Come on, Jets. Take Zach Wilson.
Yes, yes. So assuming that there's not a huge drop in how the Niners view the drop from Wilson to whomever they favorite 3, right? That's one assumption. But if there is somewhat of a, like, if they love Wilson, and according to Young, Steve Young, they do, and they like, you know, Mac Jones or Justin Fields or Trey Lance, then why would they give up all that for somebody they like?
I don't know.
Unless it's to entice somebody to trade up to three, and then, as we've talked about, but that's, you better love somebody to give up that much.
But that's why I say they're going to draft a prospect. They're going to draft Trey Lance and say, hey, we believe in you. Jimmy G is going to be the guy for a year, and we hope you get up to speed. We believe you get up to speed. We know we don't want to be drafting here ever again, so let's take a shot at you. We really, really like you. But we can't get to the guy we love, so we're going to take... So, I don't know. I mean,
it's a dangerous route.
It's a very dangerous route.
Because
you mess that up, you're set back by a lot, and you burn some bridges, too, so...
Yeah, it's true. Think about how, and we're not wishing this on anybody, but imagine if they stick at three, and they draft... Whomever they draft just falls flat on his face.
Yep.
Think about how John Lynch is going to look.
I know.
I mean, not so much Shanahan because Lynch is the one who's given up all that draft.
We know this. Like when you're a general manager other than Ryan Pace and you make bold moves to go get a guy that you love and he stinks, you usually lose your job. Which is why we're surprised that Ryan Pace still has a job.
Very surprised.
With the Bears. Now, look, maybe they get it right. Maybe Andy Dalton turns out to be the guy.
Don't waste anybody's time with that nonsense. Come
you
on.
Know what I'm saying.
Come on. We got a reputation here on the show. Don't be espousing that stuff.
Yeah, forget I just erased
that. What are you trying to do to us here,
saying that garbage? Delete what I just said.
Yeah, come on, man. I mean, sometimes we got to check each other. When you start throwing that out there, we can't let that fly on the
airwaves. I'm just trying to justify how Ryan Pace
is no justification.
Not seeing any pressure. Seriously.
Well... That's an ownership thing. For the fans are done. From our point of view, it's not a personal thing, so I don't want to say I'm done with Ryan Pace. Yeah. Same with you. It's not personal, but
from
a football point of view, it's been woefully below the standard of expectation for a GM.
You moved up a spot and gave up. In the San Francisco 49ers ended up getting both the players they wanted.
They did.
To get Mitch Trubisky?
Yep. No, I know. I mean, come on. Trust me. That's an ugly bullet point stain on the resume.
I will always say this. You don't draft a quarterback in the top 10 unless you think he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
I'm with you. I can subscribe to that. There you go. Blast. You ready, T? See what we got?
We got 6 minutes. We got to rifle through.
Let's go. Here it is. Let's go. There it is. All right, James, we got to do this tight. So if one of us is rambling too much, bang us out with the zap us out with the horn. Here we go. Rams quarterback, new Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford had a minor procedure to repair a partially torn UCLA in the thumb of his throwing hand, and he admitted he tore the UCLA in his non-throwing elbow as well, but didn't miss a game last year. Would you prefer quarterbacks took a week or two off when hurt rather than trying to play through the pain?
Nah, you're making a lot of money. Play through the pain. Come on, dude. You also are a football player. Now, if it's going to be detrimental to you long-term, maybe you go get a second opinion and maybe get surgery, but play through the pain. This isn't easy.
And that's the point. I mean, as long as you're not doing anything that's going to risk, you know, you have a big contract and the team's got all this financial investment in you. And if you play a little bit too early, even though it's respected in the locker room, you could be have adverse effects and the tentacles could extend into 5, 6, 7 years down the road. That's a problem. If you could suck it up and it's something, a needle or ice or whatever, massages can help, then you just keep grinding. I love it. Fight through the pain. That's what you're supposed to do. NBA and Players Union will discuss the buyout market in the next round of CBA negotiations after this year's free-for-all. Do you think the buyout system needs to change? You know what? I think it's time. I never really thought that it needed to change, but now I'm at the point I think that it needs to change because it's really just become another chapter of free agency is what it's become.
That's right.
I mean, these guys make so much money. Yeah, you know what? I've got $23 million remaining on my contract. I've got $197 million minimally in the bank. Let's cut it down the middle. You can keep the extra 13. Another team's going to give me 6, so I really only lose 7, and I'm still a 100 millionaire, whatever. It's a problem. They need to fix this.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And I think the way that you fix this is by not allowing these. So after a certain point, so it's got to get to a certain point in the season. And if you cross that, then yeah, you can still buy the guy out, but he can't go sign with another team. We see this in the postseason a little bit. So just moving into the regular season so it doesn't become this cluster of like pseudo free agency, as BT mentioned. It is. It's ridiculous how bad it is.
Okay. Iowa star Luka Garza was named AP Men's College Player of the Year after finishing second a year ago. While most people don't believe he's going to be an NBA star, do you believe he could be a solid NBA contributor long-term? Luka Garza, go.
Solid long-term contributor? I mean, he's really slow-footed.
He is slow.
Not that great. I mean, he's actually a decent shooter, so he can be
shoot.
A stretch.
Shoot.
A solid NBA contributor for a long-term. I like the kid, so I'm going to say yeah. I think he'll be on somebody's bench for a long time. Solid, might be a little heavy.
Uh-huh.
I'll say yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say marginally. Yeah, too. You know, I've watched him play a lot.
Yeah,
you know, he can't move, man. He is slow.
Yeah, I just worry about the defense. That's, you know,
that's what I was going to say.
That's what I'm thinking of.
No, there's no doubt. You're right. You expose him on the pick and roll. You get him on an island. You're gonna slay him 10 out of 10 times. That's a problem. I think he needs to make a decision, and I think the decision should be made for him. He could go one of two ways with his body type because he's strong, he's thick, he's sturdy, he's really worked on his body. He's a well-put-together young man. But in the modern NBA, that doesn't really play. If this was years ago, I would say build up even more and become just a conventional power player. If I'm him, I'm looking to slim down, lose 20, and get myself a reliable three-point shot. If he gets that, he'll stick because his work ethic, and he's going to be a great team guy. I think he hangs around for a little bit. Arch Manning, five-star quarterback, son of Cooper Manning, is reportedly visiting Texas.
Uh-oh.
Here we go. He's going to save the Longhorns this week. So with his dad, Archie, and Uncle Eli going to Ole Miss and Peyton going to Tennessee, would you rather see Arch blaze his own path at a completely different school like Texas? Well, yes. Then again, you know, I don't know what's in the young man's heart. Does he, when you grow up with certain things, like I'm sure – AJ and Chase, and they have an affinity, and all your children, for Virginia, because that's where Daddy and Uncle Rondé went. And obviously, my kids love Marist. They see Daddy's baseball jersey framed on the wall, and they know Marist, Red Foxes, et cetera, the mascot. Whatever's important to the kid, that it's not about the parent. Our glory days are when my glory days weren't even really glory days.
Yeah.
They're way in the rearview mirror. Let the child plot out his new path. That's
Me
all
too.
That matters.
I 100% agree. Whatever he wants, whatever his passion is, it's obviously going to be football, but if you want to go to a big football school and be the savior, Texas is the perfect place. I don't think he may likely end up there, but I think he may stay SEC, but I think he goes his own place. He doesn't have to worry about his dad and his uncle.
I didn't get to this, but there was an MMA fighter lost his finger.
Mm.
The entire finger.
Yeah, in a cage fight.
And it kept going.
Yeah, which
it kept going.
I mean,
so the question was, Teak, who's the toughest athlete we've ever seen? I wish we had more time for that. Throw out a name, toughest athlete we've ever seen.
That's a hard one because you gotta find someone who burst through adversity.
I'm trying to think of somebody who really
pain. Jack Youngblood, maybe.
I was thinking of him playing on a broken wheel.
Yeah, Ronnie Lott, he had the same thing.
Lost half his finger, cut it off, basically kept going. Kurt Schilling on the bloody sock. I know Kurt doesn't have a lot of friends, but if that was real blood and not ketchup,
MJ, the flu game or hungover game.
Yeah, I think that was embellished.
I agree.
All right, listen. Teak, have a great Easter. Enjoy everybody. Have a great weekend, buddy.
Happy
Enjoy
Easter,
the games.
Brother.
Thank
Love
you
to
very
the family.
Yeah, we're going to have a great time. Happy Easter to everybody. Enjoy the hoops. We'll see you Monday. Safe, sensible, sane. Bye-bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.